We are going to be in Matthew chapter 6, so go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. I have a confession to make. I'm not feeling the best this morning, but I'm going to try to push through this. The Lord's going to get me through this, I hope. So if I seem a little off, it's because I am. So we'll just rely on the Holy Spirit to do the rest. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and we've been going through this series. Brother Neil's been going through this series on Lord, teach me to pray. And we've been going through the Lord's Prayer. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to get you guys to stand, and we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray, God, that you are here, God, and that your Spirit is stirring, God, in the hearts of your people. Father, I cannot stir people's affections for you, God, but your Spirit can, Father. So I pray that you stir our affections this morning. God, I pray that as we dig in and we look at this scripture on our daily bread, Father, that you would just supply us with that, Father. Whatever that bread may be in our life, Father, but may we seek after you and your kingdom first, God, to be provided with that, Lord. So I pray, God, that you that your Spirit is already stirring here, God, in the hearts of many. That you would teach us, God, what it means to pray and to ask a God who's generous and giving, Father. But God, we love you. We praise you, God. We love you, and that's why we're here. God, may this service be yours, God. May no other name be lifted up but yours. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So I'm taking this passage of Scripture out of Matthew 6, and we're going to be in verse 11. And in verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I really love this Scripture, and when Brother Neil approached me about this, I read through the Lord's Prayer several times praying, and this Scripture really stuck out to me, and I said, all right, this is the one that I really am kind of drawn to. And there's several reasons I'm drawn to this, and hopefully we can kind of talk about these things. But I think there's several things that the Lord is trying to teach us through this. So I've broken this scripture up into three different parts. The first is give us, the second daily, and the third bread. And I'll explain why I broke it up in that way in just a second. So the first part I want to talk about is the generosity of God. I want to talk about this idea of Jesus is teaching us to pray, right? So we're praying to God, but the interesting thing to me is that he's asking us to ask God to give us. And let's just stop right there. Give us. It's a request. It's something that we are asking of God to give us something. And so I want to talk about the generosity of God, but to kind of put into perspective, I want to talk a little bit about Bill Gates. Okay, everyone know who Bill Gates is? For the past 7 years, he kind of lost his title as the richest man in the world, but he's kind of reclaimed that. He's the founder and of Microsoft. If you have a Microsoft computer, you know, I won't judge you for that. But if you do, I'm an Apple guy. I love Mac. But if you have a computer and has Microsoft, the reason we have those computers today is because of Bill Gates. And he has a lot of money. And this morning, I want to talk about him for just a second and just how rich he really is. Like I said, Bill Gates is now again the richest man in the world. And according to Forbes' list, he is worth $72.7 billion. By himself, he is the 37th wealthiest country on earth. By himself, he has more resources and money than most of the countries on earth. He's 57 years old. Let's just say that he lives to be 90, so that's in 33 years. He would have to spend $6 million a day to exhaust his wealth. by the age of 90 if he stopped making money. So as I read some of these, I'm getting a little upset. I'm like, why does this guy have all this money and what am I doing with my life? Anyways, so he has all of this money. $6 million a day he would have to spend to exhaust his wealth in just 33 years. If Bill Gates gave everyone on earth $10, he would still be worth $2.26 billion. If he gave everyone on earth $10. Now this is making me even more upset. I'm like, all right, I could use a $10 from Bill, you know, and he'd still be worth billions of dollars. So I talked about how wealthy he is and then gave you some statistics on, you know, how much money he has and how much he's worth and everything. But Bill Gates is actually a really generous man. As a matter of fact, he's probably one of the most generous men on earth as far as how much money he gives away. He has given away between $26 and $28 billion to various charities. And him and his wife have founded a charity to eradicate vaccinations to different people and just health things like that. So he's all about giving to the to help mankind, to help us and as people. And he gives all these charities, and he's given away between $26 and $28 billion. And I would say he could do that, and he would be fine. So he's a very, very generous man. And we talked about this, and all of us have at some point met generous people. There's a theologian and preacher, Jonathan Edwards, who is one of the lead pastors in leading the great revival that hit America. And he said this, that if you want to make grace visible, if you want to make God's grace visible, be generous people. If you want to make God's grace visible to other people, be generous. And I'll give an example from my life. There's no way that I could have come up with the money just offhand to go to Africa this past year. But because of the generosity of the people of the church and the generosity of the people in my family, I was able to go. I didn't know why I was going. I didn't really want to go, but I knew the Lord was calling me out there. Now I love it, and I just want to move there for the rest of my life. But besides the point, because of the generosity of the people, I saw God's grace working in you to give to me to go to Africa to do great things. Now, we can debate this. You know, Bill Gates is. I don't think he's a Christian, but and he's putting that generosity to things that are good, but maybe not godly, not for the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord, right? So, but here's my point in telling you about the generosity of Bill Gates, is that it doesn't matter how much money he gives, it pales in comparison to the generosity that God gives to us. And let me explain what I mean by that. God gives generously to his enemies. Bill Gates has never given to Apple. He's not going to stand behind his enemy and support that company. God gives generously to the people who killed him. Do you understand that God gave the muscles and the heart and the ability to crucify somebody to the people who he knew would crucify him? The glands that it takes to make spit in your mouth, those people that spit on Jesus, God generously gave to those people who did that. God is far more generous to us than what we deserve. God's far more generous to us than anybody on earth could be generous. You know, does that make sense? So when Jesus is teaching about praying, he's telling us to come to God very boldly and saying, give us. To the fact that we can go before a holy God and say, give us anything, is a big deal to me. Because remember back what we talked about through the Lord's Prayer. Remember who you're praying to. We're not praying to some little bitty mamby-pamby God. Like, we're not praying to some tiny figurine. We're praying to a holy God who's great in size. He's holy. He's more than what we could ever comprehend or come up with our mind. And you know, we only perceive these things that we can see here on earth, and so we have this picture of God, but he's much bigger than that. He's more than what our minds can comprehend or what our eyes can see and what our ears can hear. So when we go to God, and when we see in the accounts in the Bible, when people go before the Lord, they fall on their face and they start pronouncing woes on themselves. And I'm not worthy to be in the presence of the Lord, but why do we treat prayer any differently? When we go before God, we sometimes just treat Him as, this is what I want, God. This is my list of stuff. But we need to remember who we're praying to. And I'm telling you, if Jesus came in that door today, we wouldn't just go and give Him hugs and celebrate. We would fall on our face before a holy God. And we would realize in that moment that we're not worthy of being here. We're not worthy of worship. We're not worthy to be able to meet together or have this free gift of salvation. But Jesus is teaching for us to go before God boldly and say, give us anything. From the mundane of bread and the things that we need daily just to sustain and live through life, to whatever you're struggling with. Because if you remember back who we're praying to, yes, we serve a big and great and holy God. But He's also our Heavenly Father. And He's the best Father that you can have. And you can come up in your mind who the best dad is in your opinion. You know, my dad, he is so great because he spent time with me and to teach me the things that I needed to know to be a man. Or he sat down with me and taught me Scripture. He taught me about life. Or he played with me even when he didn't want to. And you can think of all these qualities of a father that, yeah, that makes a great dad, but God far exceeds those things. He is our Heavenly Father, meaning that we should treat Him as a father because a father wants what's best for his son. And God, as our Father, wants so much greater than that. So we have to remember who we're talking to, but sometimes, you know, in ministry, like, I get this overwhelming feeling that I'm inadequate, you know, and I struggle with things, but I have to remember that God is the one who equips me. If He's called me to something, He's going to equip me through it. And if we don't ask for these things, why should He ever give us those things? Prayer is important, but some of us sometimes go to prayer in self-sufficiency, like, God, I got this, before you ever come to prayer. And I'm going to talk about that in the next point, but I just want us to rest in this fact that God is very generous, that He's given us the ability to do things and to make choices on our own, that He's given us all of these things when we don't deserve it, and He's given those Roman soldiers, and if we were there in that day of time, we would have been there too. But D.A. Carson said that no human hand could ever murder Jesus. He gave Himself willingly. He gave Himself for us. We didn't force Him to no cross. He went willingly. He could have called legions of angels to His side, but He didn't. We serve a very, very generous God who gives to His enemy because He wants to rescue us out of this junk. He could have just left us alone and said, you know what? You are all selfish and prideful, and I'm going to give you what you deserve. But that's not God's character. God's character is love. That's who He is. So God is very generous in giving to us, and Jesus is saying, just ask Him. Go to prayer and ask Him for your daily bread. So I wanted to talk about the generosity of God. And the second point that I want to make is that He uses this word daily, which I think is very, very interesting. So give us this day our daily bread, things that we need every day. I think it kind of shows the reliance that we should have on God every day. Sometimes I talked earlier about our self-sufficiency, that sometimes we try to make it through life on our own. that God, I got this. And we have this sense, and I know several people, I'm not going to mention any names, but there's people that just love this idea of control, right? We love to control things, and I think sometimes that's why some of our churches are starting to look inwardly, because we can control this and that, and I want to have control, and I want to have a say-so, and I want the church to do what I want it to do, rather than seeking out what the Lord wants the church to do. We have this inward desire of just controlling everything in our life, including what we have here at the church. That's not biblical. Like, we don't have control of anything. We need to rely on the Lord to lead this church in the direction that this church needs to go. Let me ask you this. When you go to prayer, are you relying on the Lord or are you relying on yourself? Because sometimes we get to this point where I have to figure this out. And I have to get this done on my own. The Christian walk is not easy. The Christian walk is very, very difficult. You know, I wish someone would have sat down and told me that, you know, someone that was passionate about going into ministry and passionate about youth. I wish somebody would have sat me down and said, Jimmy, this Christianity is going to be hard. You're still going to mess up and you're still going to fall and you're still going to fail and you're going to have all this weight on you. But Christ died for that weight. He died for your failures. He never said you're going to be perfect. You're not going to mess up. But in God's eyes, I'm still a saint. My identity's changed from sinner to saint. He removes as far as from the east as from the west my sin. He doesn't see it anymore. God is a generous God. And we need to rely on Him daily for our strength and for whatever it is you need in your life. And all of you can probably think right now, what is it that I need right now in my life? What am I relying on? And for some of you, it may be that daily bread, that literal physical food that we need to live and to survive and to sustain. But for some of you, it's your marriage. For some of you, you are losing the battle in your home. For some of you, it may be a financial thing. For some of you, it may be worrying about things, and you're just stuck in that sin of worrying. And that's kind of what I want to talk about. And later on in Matthew 6, and I don't see that Jesus is specifically pointing back to this scripture, but this is automatically what I think about when I think of, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. In Matthew chapter 6, in verses 25 through 27, it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, and they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life?" So what does worry actually do? And when we get into this mindset and this idea that we have to have control of all of this in our life, we start to worry about things. The more control I try to take over in my life, whatever aspect it is, the more I worry about it. Well, what does that produce? Does that do anything good from worrying about it? No. It stresses you out. It robs you of your joy. You become restless. It overtakes your mind and your thoughts, and soon you're not going to be of any kingdom value, is what it comes down to. You're just constantly worried about things, but the opposite of worry is faith. I have faith in God that He's going to come through and take care of me. It's kind of what Jesus is talking about, what we just read. God, your heavenly Father, feeds and takes care of the birds and the flowers of the field. Does He not care much more of you? He cares about you. You have value to God. We see that in the Genesis account of creation, that He created you in His own image. You have value. You're worth something. You are a child of God. If you're adopted into his family, you're a child of God. He's going to take care of you. But sometimes we just worry about everything. And I'm not saying that things aren't going to go bad in your life. But regardless, that thing is going to go bad in your life whether you worry about it or not. The gospel isn't, you know, I'm going to save you and everything's just going to be good. The gospel is that we get God. It's not about all of our problems going away. When I teach this about give us our daily bread, I'm not going to teach a prosperity gospel of if you do these certain steps, we can control God's actions. It's not what I'm saying, that you can be blessed monetarily because you did these certain steps. And it's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the gospel never said that your life is just going to be easy. Look at it. Look at Job. Look at Paul. Look at the apostles that lost their life for the cause of Christ. It's absolutely ridiculous to believe that our life is just going to be nice and easy. Now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm saved, nothing bad's going to happen. But the gospel is this, that we get God and he is our Heavenly Father. He's going to take care of you. And he's going to take you through it. The fact and the joy of knowing that we can know the eternal Creator and live with him for eternity far exceeds those problems that we have here on earth. In the realm of eternity, although these problems may seem big, what's in front of you is always just in this magnifying glass, right? Your problems right now is just the biggest they'll ever get. God, why don't you do something? He is going to do something one day. He is going to do something one day. God is not a passive God. He's not just sitting by. He knew all of this was going to happen before it happened. The fact is, God loves you. And he has offered to provide for you daily, but sometimes we worry because we have this desire of control. And if things don't go my way, God must be against me. No. Things don't go your way because we live in a dark world. And sin has completely tainted and stained everything around us. You don't have to go very far to see how sinful the world is. I walk into the high school and go eat lunch, and I can't sit there without hearing something or seeing something that shouldn't be happening. Nobody has to teach someone to do wrong. They just know it because we're born into sin. God, why don't you do something about all this evil in the world? He is going to do something. One day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He is coming back for his bride, the church. He's not leaving us to the side. I'm ready for that day. I'm definitely ready for that day now because I don't feel good, but no headaches in heaven. No, you know, that's just going to be awesome. Let me ask you this. Do you struggle with worrying about your life? You struggle with just worrying about every little thing. And I understand that's a natural tendency. I understand that. But Jesus is specifically saying, don't worry. Just trust in me. Have faith in me. Stop worrying that everything's that is in your hands. I'm the sovereign God. I can take care of it. Stop worrying about your life. So we see the generosity of God in that Jesus is asking us to go before boldly to the Father and asking him to give us something because he is our Heavenly Father. We remember that. Daily, to me, this is an everyday thing. I don't know if you knew this, but worry is a choice that we make. We choose to worry. You don't have to worry, but we choose to. It's like any sin. You choose to sin or you choose not to. God has given you that free will to choose. You can worry or you can trust in the Father. But it's a daily thing. We worry so much what's going to happen tomorrow or next week that we forget what's ahead of us now. And then if we're worried and our mind is off to next week and next year and all these things that are going to happen, what kingdom value are you today? We pray about the things of the future, but do we ever pray about, God, what do you want me to do today? Like, what is your will for my life right now today? Who is going to come along my path? And who am I supposed to make visible grace in being generous to somebody today? I don't even know if I have tomorrow. But we're so caught up in the future, and we're so caught up in the past, but right now, today, have you prayed that? Like, God, who am I going to be generous to? Who can I show grace to? And who can, by showing grace, how can I magnify your name and glorify your name today? Daily. Ask God daily for what we need to equip us to do what God wants us to do. The last I want to read right here is the last point that I want to make is when he says bread. Now we know that bread is food, and that particular food is a very basic need of life, of what we need to live and to sustain, to work and have strength and to raise our kids and do life. We have to have food. And for some of these people reading this scripture, that is exactly what they need. They just need to ask God literally for physical daily bread, the most mundane thing, the thing that, you know, the small details that we don't even think God cares about. God wants to take care of you. You know, sometimes we get caught up, man, my problem is much bigger than my daily need for food. But it's not. Our daily need for food is essential for our kingdom value. We need to ask for even the most small, the smallest of small thing, if it's your food or whatever, because God cares about the details of your life. He's interested in the details of your life. And we serve a big God, and we think that God only is concerned with just this part of our life or this part of our life, but He's concerned with it all. Why? Because every father wants to know his child. I care that you worry about this, and I care that you're struggling with this. Just give it to me because it's already been paid for. Let me ask you a question, and this question, it's not something I came up with, you know, but Brother Neil asked me this the other day, and I really was thinking about this a lot afterwards, but what is your daily bread? What is it that you need today? Whether it's patience in a certain situation, whether it's a financial thing, whether it literally is your physical bread, what is the spiritual need of your life? And are you afraid to ask, or have you even prayed about this, or asked the Lord who gives generously wisdom in a certain situation, clarity of what I'm supposed to do next in life? Maybe it's about getting married, or maybe it's about having children, or a huge step of moving. I don't know what it is, but what is it in your life right now? Whether it's the most small thing or the biggest thing in your life, what is it right now that this is what I need, Lord? My daily bread, this is what I need today. This is what I need to work on. This is my weakness. And God gives generously. He's not just going to give it to you, but maybe He gives you opportunities to work on that. Just a thought. I want to read Matthew 6, 33, and then I'm going to close. But Matthew 6, 33 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In Matthew, or in John 6:35, it says, "Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst.'" What I see in these couple of passages of Scripture is that if we seek the Lord and His kingdom, and we concern ourselves with godly things rather than worldly things, and we would just get on our face and pray and seek the face of the Lord and His provision in our life, He's going to take care of the rest. We struggle so many times. God, what is the will of your life? And I know we talked about that last Sunday, but God, what is your will in my life? If we will just line up and seek God and His kingdom first, and we line our life up with the Scripture, you will figure out the will of God. We're like, God, no, I need to know specifically, what do you want me to do? Specifically, I want you to line up your life with this Word. We like to glaze over. There's things in the Bible that are offensive, and if it's not offensive to you, then you're perfect, I guess. But there's things in the Bible that are offensive because they contradict my life. I don't always live up to this Scripture. I hate to tell you guys that this morning, your youth pastor is not perfect. I don't live a perfect life. My life is not always lined up with the Scripture. I'm just being honest. But sometimes I seek God's will. God, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I'm constantly coming back to this Scripture. Just seek first my kingdom. I'm going to take care of the rest. You know, there's a specific will of God and there's a general will of God. And the general will is to line up your life with the Bible. The specific, God's going to take care of it. If you're seeking God, you will hear from God. The more we bow the knee, the more we're going to hear from God. And we're going to know what He wants us to do. But do you actually take the time to get to know Him and ask Him for even the most mundane thing? God, this day I need my daily bread, as big or as small as that is. I need it. We are not self-sufficient people. As Christians, we rely wholly on the Lord. I'm asking you this morning, are you relying on the Lord? Or are you relying on your own strength, your own intellect, your own power, your own control? Are you worrying? Are you stuck in this sin of worrying and not having faith and trust in the Lord? Man, if He's had power to pull you out and save you, He has power to sustain you to the end.
That's right. Amen.
But sometimes we have to pull a chair up to the table and ask,
that's right,
God, this is what I need. Maybe He's been waiting to give it to you, but we haven't asked. Our God is a very generous God. And let us just rest in that and understand who He is. It's part of His character and nature. He's a giving God. So I don't know where you are this morning. I know as I was preparing this sermon, it really just kind of struggling through it. Because I know that I worry about a lot of stuff, and I feel like I struggle with this trusting in the Lord and asking Him for everything and really just laying it all out there. I think David in Psalms knew this best because he just laid it out there for the Lord. There's some things that David said to God. I was like, I would never say that to God. He would smite me, but I'm sure God's heard it all. Whether it's a frustration that you need to lay down, whether it's questions that you have, it's okay to question God. He's your Father. He gives generously. He's gracious. So I don't know what it is you're struggling with. Maybe it's a struggle of, I'm just kind of checking this Christianity thing out. I don't know if it's for me or whatever. Maybe that is what you need to lay down today. But the invitation's open. If we ever stop giving invitations, we've stopped being the church. So we want to invite you down. And whatever business you need to get done this morning with the Lord, I'm just going to ask you to do that. If you want to pray with me or Brother Neil or come kneel at the altar, that's fine. Whatever business you need to get taken care of, let's do that. So let's stand and I'll pray. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would just get the right vision in our mind, Father. God, I know I'm not just... I pray that Your Spirit work through me, God, because I know that I've always struggled with this communication, Father. But God, I pray that Your Word has gone out and it will not return void. Father, I pray that You would accomplish this morning what You want. God, I pray that You are awakening some of Your children this morning. God, we need prayer. God, we need to rely on You. God, this church will not survive if we're trying to run this thing. We need you at the head of your church. We need a fresh vision from you. So God, I pray, Father, that your Spirit is working this morning. God, it's not about me. It's not about how good I preach. It's not about anything. God, it's all about you. It's always been about you. So God, I pray that our vision of you is a little bit more clear, that we can start to see you for who you are. God, and I pray that this day you would give us our daily bread, God, and that we would not be afraid to ask a God who gives generously. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, for this church and that you would lead it in the direction it needs to go. In Jesus' name, amen.